Hey, Target. You thought we were done?
Did you think we would give up?
Well, of course not. We still stand strong with our belief that men do not belong in the women's restrooms or changing areas. It's absurd. We should not have to walk in your restrooms with the fear of someone of the opposite sex walking in on us.
Together, we will stop this open door policy.
Help us by signing the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net.
And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you again today. Hope everything is going well for you today. Thank you all for listening and for praying and for calling in. We do appreciate your participation and involvement in the program. Now, today, folks, I've got to open the program by saying how heartbreaking it is to hear that Rush Limbaugh has advanced lung cancer. And I trust all of you will be praying for him, because this is a great patriot and a great man. In fact, I dare say that in many ways he has made it possible or easier even for me to do what I do, and for every talk show host, every conservative talk show host in America to do what we do. I mean, he's been a pioneer in this when there was nothing like him when he started. It really has been amazing to watch his career unfold and to watch him reach heights of success that I'm sure he never imagined he would reach. You know, Rush is not a college graduate, and his parents apparently were quite frustrated with him that he wasn't interested in going to school from a very young age. He was interested in only one thing, radio. And he pursued it with a passion, and look at what it's done for him. And God bless him for all that he's done to contribute to our country and to rally patriots around this nation. I shudder to think where we would be as a nation without Rush Limbaugh and all of those who, in a way, have followed in his footsteps and gotten on the air and announced our values without apology and without equivocation. So let's be praying for Rush and asking God to heal him, to show him mercy. Because I'd like to see Rush on the air for many, many years to come, and I'm sure all of you feel the same way. In fact, you know what? Let me say a word of prayer now, and then I want to talk a little bit about how the left is responding to this, because it makes a point that I have articulated, enunciated again and again and again on this program. But let me pause and say a word of prayer for Rush. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you in behalf of your servant, Rush Limbaugh. And Lord, he has announced that he has been diagnosed with a very, very dangerous and deadly disease, lung cancer. And it's in its advanced stages. But we really believe that there's nothing too hard for God. We really believe, Lord God, that you're the great physician who has never lost a patient. And we're asking you to, by your grace and your sovereign mercy, to heal Rush, to do for him what doctors can only partially do, what treatments can only partially do. Because, Lord God, we know that you can do all things, because with God, nothing is impossible. So we pray for him, for his wife, all of those around him who love him, who I'm sure are probably quite concerned about him right now. But, Lord, may he emerge victorious. May he live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the reports we've gotten, folks, is that Rush, his staff has been saying, you know, he has a profound personal relationship with God, and that has deepened since this diagnosis. And I'm one of those people who does not believe that God gives people cancer.
Thank you. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Have you ever wondered why John Adams said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people? It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Put very simplistically, it's because our Constitution outlines a very limited government, presupposing a religious and moral people who govern or limit themselves in obedience to God's law. However, as D. James Kennedy aptly pointed out, through the rewriting of history and the use of humanist doublespeak, the proponents of disbelief have almost written God out of the history of America and the functioning of its government. Unquote. We have witnessed this fact for ourselves. As self-restraint decreases, government increases. We've gone from two stone tablets to loads of laws and reams of regulations. What we really need is repentance and a return to God's requirements to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
An elderly lady was celebrating her 102nd birthday at a gathering of friends and family. When she was asked what she most enjoyed about being 102 years old, she replied, "The lack of peer pressure." Well, since most of us aren't her age, we probably still have to deal with peer pressure at times. We're all tempted to change our behavior based on how we think others will respond. But the Bible encourages us to make God's opinion the most important. It's much easier to resist others' opinions when we are confident of God's approval. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover who you are in God on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66. Start your journey home today.
Sorry about that, folks. We apparently had a technical problem, and you all lost me in the middle of the prayer. But I did finish praying for Rush. I won't bother to repeat what I said, but I think you all got the gist of it. We're praying for his healing and believing that God will do a great work in his life. Now, what you probably did not hear at all is that reports from his staff are that Rush has a profound personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that that relationship has been deepening as a result of this. He has been seeking God very fervently, because I guess Rush understands that, you know, medical treatment can take you so far. God is the only one who can heal you to the uttermost. And so that's encouraging. What I said that you probably didn't hear that, but I went on to say, I don't believe that God gives people cancer and all this stuff to somehow get them to draw closer to him. I said, because if that were the case, everybody in the world would be closer to God, because everybody in the world suffers from something, whether it's sickness and disease or it's problems of some kind. I believe God is the one who steps in the midst of problems that are simply in the world and affect us all, steps in and brings grace and peace and healing and joy in the midst of very difficult and trying times. And I believe God is doing that for Rush Limbaugh right now. But you know, the sad thing is, folks, I've said on this program many, many times, we as Christians don't rejoice in the pain and suffering of others, even if those people happen to be folks with whom we vehemently disagree, or even people who hate us. We don't rejoice in their downfall. We don't rejoice in their suffering, their pain, their sickness, their death. We just don't. And the Bible cautions against that. It says we're not supposed to rejoice at the downfall of people, even when they're wicked. And so we just don't do that. I mean, there are people in our country who I think are doing a great disservice to this nation. I mean, Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi, just to name three, and we could go on and on and on with that list, but just to name three. I don't a bit more want anything bad to happen to them than the man in the moon. I really don't. I really don't. What I do want is for them to be out of office. And, you know, if that's bad, well, okay. But that I do want. But as far as hurt, harm, sickness, disease, danger, somebody trying to do violence against them, I don't want that. I don't want to have anything to do with even the suggestion of that. But I'll tell you one thing. The left certainly has no such conscience compunctions. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
How many times have we heard as we head into an election season that this will be the most important election in our lifetime? Reed Wilson, writing for The Hill, is not given to hyperbole, but sets forth some very persuasive reasons why the 2020 election will be the most important. First, the Democrat Party is likely to nominate the most liberal candidate ever to carry the party's mantle. He explains that even the moderate candidates are staking out positions further to the left of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Second, four Supreme Court justices are over the age of 70. Two of them are in their 80s. Three of them have served on the court for more than a quarter century, and the next president will be able to put more justices on the court. Third, voters in 34 states will elect U.S. senators. They will ultimately determine how far the next president can go in choosing not only the next Supreme Court justice, but all the other federal justices who serve on lower courts. That is why Democrats are targeting seats in Arizona, Colorado, Maine, and North Carolina. Republicans have seats in Alabama and Michigan in their sights. Finally, voters in most states will be electing new state legislators. They will have the power to draw legislative and congressional boundaries after the census. Of the 11 states that will elect governors this year, 7 have a role in the map-making process. This redistricting and gerrymandering will have an impact throughout the rest of this coming decade. It will determine who represents you in Congress and who represents you in the state house. Both political parties recognize how important this will be and will fund years of litigation over these political maps. These are just a few reasons why 2020 will be the most important election in your lifetime. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
So when people first hear about MediShare, they have questions, some really good questions, starting with the obvious. What is it? Well, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's not health insurance. It's a different way of doing things, which leads us to the next question. Why do people do this? Why do they become MediShare members? Here are two of the biggest reasons. Number one, people feel good about it. They're not trapped in a plan that makes them pay for things they don't believe in. They know their money is going to help people. And the second reason, people save a lot of money. Maybe you've heard us mention the typical family saves about $500 a month switching to MediShare. And one more big question, does it work? The answer is yes, 1,000 times yes, or 400,000 times, since that's how many MediShare members there are, and they've shared over $2 billion in medical expenses. So easy to find out right now how MediShare can work for you. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. The Iowa caucuses were a complete and utter disaster live and on CNN. What happened and who's to blame? Wait till you hear what Adam Schiff says will happen if they don't convict Donald Trump. Brett Hume tells the devastating truth about Joe Biden, who snaps at a reporter for telling the truth about Hunter. That and more next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So, folks, as I said, and I mean this sincerely, I don't know you all accept that I do not have one scintilla, iota, the most minuscule desire to see something bad happen to Adam Schiff or Nancy Pelosi or Jerry Nadler, even though I despise what they're doing. But If somebody said to me, well, you know what, it's no problem because Adam Schiff has cancer. He's about to die. You know what I would do? I would pray for Adam Schiff. I really would. I would pray for him. Now, as I said before, I'm not going to play games with you. I want him out of office, but I don't want him dead. I don't want him destroyed. But, you know, that's because of our Christian conscience. And see, as Christians, the Bible says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we actually do. Now, the left doesn't understand this because they rejected God. We actually do love people, even when we don't agree with them, even when we don't, quote unquote, like them. You know what I mean? We might not like their personality or like what they stand for. But the love of God is in us, in their behalf. And so we just don't want to see people hurt. But folks, you know, without God, I used to say quite often, Without God, you just go stupid. And that's true. But you know, without God, human beings can descend to the level of animals. You know, animals don't have remorse when some member of their pride gets attacked and killed. I mean, they don't sit around and mourn. There may be some kind of connection that animals can have with each other, but it's not like human beings. You know, one of our loved ones has something go wrong. It affects us. It affects us deeply and profoundly. And it's lasting. But when people reject God, their ability to love the way God intended us to love is just not there. And they're much, much more, and I'm not calling them animals, but I'm saying they're much, much more in their emotional predispositions like animals than they are like the human beings God made us to be. Because he made us in his image and his likeness. And the Bible says God is love, which means if you're made in his image and his likeness, he made you to be a being of love. But the left, their hearts are hardened toward God and their ability to love is gone. And so what they really do then, they make sex love. You know, it's nobody's business who I love. Well, what they really mean is it's nobody's business who I have sex with. That's what they're talking about. I mean, they're not really talking about love because they don't know what love is. See? Because love is not philia and love is not eros. Love is agape. Well, here's how some of the leftists have responded to Russia's announcement to prove my point. Nick Pappas. These are tweets. I'm so sorry for lung cancer. No one deserves Rush Limbaugh. I wish him the best medical care he's worked on denying to others. Here's somebody calling himself the Rude Pundit. Yeah, no, the high road is for losers. Blank you, Rush. Blank Limbaugh. Blank you in hell. Here's Nick Ciarelli. No one should have to suffer through lung cancer. Wishing him a speedy recovery and that he uses his vast influence to promote affordable health coverage for everyone. Parentheses. I am saying all of this as I put a pillow over his face. Here's some more. This is CNN Brian Stelter's tweets. He literally has encouraged right-wing politicians to harm people, deprive health care, imprison innocent children, and let people die. Lives will be saved when he's gone. I mean, what in the world are these people talking about? You probably look at Russia's giving pattern. Russia's probably done more to help children than most people in the country. But he goes on to say, couldn't have happened to a better person. I guess since he is a cancer to society, life is imitating art. Here's another one. Such a painful disease. The suffering he will experience, the anguish of facing death after his despicable life will be a burden so heavy it will destroy his soul. Here's another one. I've never wished a man dead, but I have read some obituaries with great pleasure. Your time has come, you vicious racist. And then he uses some letters that are intended to abbreviate a filthy phrase, which I won't even bother to give you the letters, but you can imagine. Does that mean he will stop spreading hatred towards minorities from now on? And then, and look at this, the last two. I wish I didn't have to laugh my blank off at this. Yeah, laugh my blank off at Rush having lung cancer. And finally, good riddance. Folks, I'll tell you, the level of hatred and venom and evil that pours out of these folks is literally staggering. It literally is staggering. And you know, the ironic thing, the incongruous thing that we have to grapple with, they're always pointing the finger at us as people of hate. And of course, I don't even, Folks, I don't even pay any attention to that nonsense because I know what's in my heart. I know it's a lie. But you see, that's all they have. And it's complete projection because they're the ones who are actually doing the hating. And that's proof positive of it right there. A smattering of leftist responses to Russia's tragic news. And folks, I'll tell you, I had one of my assistants said to me when I was reading this, and we happened to be going to an event together, and I read this, you know what he said? He said, you know, people who think like that, I would not trust them to be around me because if they are that hateful and angry, I think if they had a chance, they actually hurt you themselves. You know, I'd never thought about that, but that's, I think that's absolutely true because Jesus said, you know, you can be guilty of murder when you have hatred in your heart. In other words, you'd like to see someone dead. From a spiritual perspective, it's the equivalent of murdering them yourself. Well, how much does it take for a person who is godless anyway to go the next step? Just a little bit of a reflection of how deep and profound this stuff is, folks. So, but anyway, you know, we're going to pray for Rush Limbaugh. And you know what? We're going to pray for our enemies too, that the Lord will awaken them and they will come to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that they will come to know that because it'll change their perspective on life. It'll change their whole being because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. So that's our ultimate prayer for them. In the meantime, we just don't want them making public policy based on their godless, hateful ideas as just expressed. Okay. Yeah, we want them out of elective positions and appointed positions where they get to shape the culture after their father, the devil. Yeah, I said it because that's exactly what I mean. Jesus said the same thing when he was telling a bunch of people who were opposing him. You are of your father, the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning, and the truth is not in him. Ditto. Right. Little homage to Rush there. Ditto. Okay, folks. Look, I wanted to remind you, we just had, I do a national conference call every Tuesday, but it's over for today. But keep it in mind for next Tuesday, 12 noon Eastern time. I had Brigitte Gabriel on today talking about how Islam, radical Islam, is trying to exploit what it considers to be the sense of injustice that the left has convinced the black community that they're victims of. And so they are trying to recruit in the prisons and recruit in the inner cities and trying to basically turn young black men into radical Islamists. And they're having some success at it. And that's a pretty scary thing. But you can thank the left because they're in league. The radical Islamists are in league with the left in their God-hating and nation-hating mentalities. So I can understand how it works that they have an alliance. I used to be puzzled by that. Because if they had their way, the first to go would be the radical leftists. If the Islamists had their way, the radical leftists would be the first to go. Okay, let's come to the Iowa caucuses. And by the way, the number is 888-589-8840. Now, let me also remind you, I have a national prayer call called Stand in Prayer for America. It's at 12 noon Eastern time every Friday, and I'll tell you more about that later, but keep that in mind. 12 noon Eastern time every Friday. It's only a 30-minute call for people from around the country to call in and pray for our country, pray for the president, pray for the Congress, pray for this nation, pray for each other. Okay, look, I think there's a lesson to be learned from the debacle in the Iowa caucuses. And I'll tell you what that is when we come back. But I think there's a real lesson to be learned here. Right now, people, what we don't know what's going on. I think I know exactly what's going on. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. I'll come back, introduce that, and then take your calls.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
The very first book in the Bible has some wonderful words for us. Here's a little short verse from the 28th chapter. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Let me share a story with you. Sam put on his top coat, picked up his briefcase, and walked to the door. Saying goodbye to the rest of the family, he proceeded to his car. He backed out of his driveway and headed down the road to the office. At the intersection, he looked both ways, and then he started across, and that's when it happened. There was a terrible screech, tires grinding on the pavement, coming to a sudden and complete stop. Sam jumped, looked toward his right to see a big tractor trailer bearing down on him. In an instant, his instinct told him to brace himself to prepare for a terrible accident. The truck was about to crash into his small foreign-made automobile. He braced and waited, but miraculously, the driver of the giant truck managed to get the big rig stopped just prior to the anticipated collision. With a sigh of relief and thankfulness, Sam uttered a quick prayer. Now, it's only fair to say that Sam was not normally a very religious man, living mostly by his own creeds and just not having much time or interest in the kid stuff, you know. But for some reason, he spontaneously let it slip. "Thank you, Lord," he said, suddenly remembering that there was someone beyond himself. Well, Sam and the driver of the truck got out and surveyed the situation. "Man," said the truck driver, "you're a mighty lucky person. Just a split-second difference in timing, and you very probably wouldn't be around this old world right now. You'd better be thankful that I had my brakes reworked just last week. I would hate to think what would have happened if I had not. And I started to put it off, but changed my mind at the last minute and went ahead. Buddy, you better thank goodness that you're still alive." "Mister," said Sam, "I've already thanked goodness." Well, in a few moments, Sam was on his way to the office again. At a service station along the route he took, he saw Bill. Bill was a friend of his who worked in the same office. Bill was also the religious guy in their group, a regular churchgoer. Sam wheeled in to speak to Bill and tell him about the truck. "Hey, Bill," hollered Sam out of his window as he pulled along his religious friend. "The Lord's really taking care of me this morning. I pulled out in front of this big truck and the Lord performed the miracle and stopped it just before it got me. It sure is great how the Lord takes care of us, isn't it?" "It sure is," said Bill. "He performed a miracle for me this morning also." "He did?" said Sam. "What happened? Did you nearly get hit by a big truck like me?" "Well, not quite," said Bill. "He just kept me from pulling out in front of any big trucks." Strange how we can find him in the miracles and not in the everyday events, isn't it?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. So look, let me tell you what I think is happening in Iowa. Because you may be wondering yourself. I mean, it's right now, it just looks like a complete mess. Just a complete mess. I don't think that's what is going on here. You know what I think is going on? I think what is going on is that the Democrat Party has completely thrown out the idea of electoral integrity. I don't think they care about that anymore. Now, just hear me out. I really don't. I don't think they care about that at all. You think about the things that they're doing. They have fought viciously with lies and innuendo and voter IDs are racist. Voter IDs are trying to suppress voter participation. They have registered, and we know that in some cities in California, but I think it's happening all over the country, voted illegal immigrants. Okay? So they've stopped us from determining that a person is a citizen or is eligible to vote by having some sort of voter ID required, A. B, they have encouraged non-citizens to vote explicitly in some elections in California, I think in Washington too, Washington State. So, and of course, completely supported open borders so that people can come into the country willy-nilly. And they want them to have driver's licenses. They want to register people as they get their driver's licenses, which means that barring some sort of filtering process, which they don't have, in particularly in the blue states, you're going to register a bunch of illegal immigrants to vote. So everything that they're doing suggests that they have no interest in election integrity whatsoever. They have interest in only one thing: the outcome. That's all, the outcome. What did Adam Schiff say? You can't trust the upcoming election. You can't trust it. So they have no interest whatsoever in elections other than getting the results that they want. And I'll tell you what I think is happening right now. I think what is happening right now is they're finagling and jockeying behind the scenes to figure out what exactly is the outcome that they want. And when I say they, I mean the elites, the people who are in charge of the process, who are in charge of determining the outcome. And folks, let me tell you something. I've seen this firsthand. When I ran for lieutenant governor in Virginia, I had a lot of support. I won the nomination fair and square. But in the process of the votes being tallied, there was a lot of delay, a lot of shenanigans that seemed to go on, because there were people who simply did not want me, who was not deemed an establishment Republican, did not want me to win the nomination. The voting started, I think, at about 10 a.m. that morning and didn't end until 10:30 that night. And I think that was all in an effort to try to make sure that my supporters left, hoping that they would be the least committed. Well, it turned out my supporters were the most committed, and I ended up walking away with the nomination. But there were some unhappy people in the establishment about that. And they did a couple of things in the course of the process trying to subvert my win. So, for example, when the first vote was taken, I was 15% ahead of the closest second. And in convention terms, that's way ahead. I mean, I was way ahead. And you know what? They didn't announce that. You know what they did? They took 4 hours to simply announce that certain candidates had made the cut and certain candidates had not. And then they simply put up a list of the candidates who had made the cut. And guess what? I wasn't even put as number one. It was just, here's the candidates who made the cut. They didn't even tell the convention that I was 15 points ahead of the closest second. Didn't tell them. And that news didn't come out until after the second vote. And you know why it came out after the second vote? Because I climbed further ahead after the second vote. So folks, I know how this stuff goes. Why the 4-hour delay? I'm trying to figure out how do we get the outcome we're looking for here? And I'm not saying everybody was into that, obviously, because I won. But there were some forces at stake in the establishment process who were trying to figure out a way to finagle me out of a legitimate win. And I think what's happening in Iowa right now, I think they're half afraid that Bernie Sanders is going to win. And they're, while they're all a bunch of socialists, they don't know that they want somebody who openly proclaims that he's a socialist. And the president said the other day, Bernie Sanders is a communist. And I agree with the president of the United States. Bernie Sanders is a full-blown communist. This socialist stuff is just that. That's just a euphemism for who he really is. This guy is a Castro-loving, Soviet Union-admiring communist. He thinks America would be better off if we were a communist country. And so instead of running for president, I wish he'd just go move to China somewhere, or move to Cuba, or move to North Korea. I'm sure they love him there. And I'm sure he would love it. The gulags and the indoctrination camps where he can get people thinking the way they're supposed to think. Oh, I think that'd be paradise for him. Go right ahead, Bernie. In fact, you can cross the borders without permission. I'm sure they'll give you a pass. They'll grant you amnesty. So folks, I think that's what's going on. And that's why here we are in the middle of the day afterwards, and we're not getting any word on anything. I mean, don't you find that a bit odd? I mean, isn't that a bit strange? Yeah, it is. But it's not by accident. It's not incompetence that's at work here. This is an effort to try to take control of the process and decide the outcome rather than having the delegates decide. And I don't know when rank and file Democrats are going to wake up to the fact that these people don't care about rank. And when I say these people, these elite Democrats, they don't care about Democrat rank and file folks. They don't, because they only care about power. If you help them get it, fine. You're in their good graces, just like all communists, right? And if you're a threat to it, huh, you better duck, because off with your head is really the way they think about you. So, folks, okay, let's see if we can get to some calls here. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Yes, thank you, Bishop Jackson. First, I want to thank all the people behind the scenes that work to help you guys get the programs on. They are all so awesome that I just wanted to recognize them.
Yes, indeed, they are. Thank you, Mary. You're right, they are.
When in Virginia, I did not hear you comment on this, and I probably missed it, was when West Virginia offered to let some of the counties in Virginia come over there to get out of the heavy Democrat power that's going on there. Do you feel like that would be a good move? And also, did I hear right that one of the Republican senators in West Virginia is not voting for President Trump during this impeachment, like he's voting against him? And I just want to know if you heard that, if I'm correct or if I'm wrong. Thank you so much, and God bless you for your program.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you. Mary, I haven't commented on the West Virginia offer because I haven't studied it. I don't know how, when geographically you're in the middle of one state, you can somehow align yourself with another. I just don't see that as viable. I'll tell you what, when I come back, I'll respond to the other part of your question. Back in a moment, folks.
You know, we were created to be in relationship with God through faith in Christ, right?
Dr. Kathy Cook on Focus on the Family Minute.
He created us to have the need so we would find him. And until we find him and really commit and become Christ's followers in a very real way, we're going to be lacking. And I have great hope that those who don't yet know Christ will find him. Yeah. As they're driven to more of a completeness, and they find out that, you know, things won't satisfy security, but people will, and people disappoint, but God doesn't. Yeah. Now, they may feel God does because they don't know him well enough yet to understand all of that. And that's why you do what you do so well here at Focus, is to keep driving people to the reality that it is of God that you
That's
live
where the
like
answer
well.
Is.
Absolutely.
Only God can truly fulfill your needs. And you can hear more from Dr. Kathy today at FamilyMinute.org.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net. Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wesley, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. J.J.'s helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
The AFA Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming June 25th through the 27th. Experts have lined up to help Christians make a difference in our increasingly wicked culture.
Dr. Frank Turek.
If there is a God and Jesus rose from the dead, then the God who created the universe out of nothing is Jesus.
John Uhler.
One of the hidden things that few women will talk about is the long-term effects of having had an abortion.
Abraham Hamilton III.
I'm certainly happy that they didn't seek to regulate slavery. Can you imagine, Frederick Douglass? We need to make sure that the chains you put on the slave's neck are not too tight. We're regulating murder. We know it's murder. They know it's murder. We all know it's murder. We just won't call it public. No, it's a woman's right to choose.
The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference at Hope Church in Tupelo, June 25th through the 27th, includes a children's track as well. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
On the other part of Mary's question, which is there a West Virginia senator who is going to, Republican senator who's going to vote for impeachment? The answer is no. Senator Manchin, who is a Democrat, may not vote for impeachment. He's been recommending censure of the president, not an impeachment vote. So he has wavered on whether he is going to vote for impeachment. The Republican senator is Shelley Moore Capito or Capito. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Maybe Capito, Shelley Moore Capito. As far as I can tell, she has been categorically against impeachment from the very beginning. So no, Mary, I don't think there's any danger of a West Virginia Republican voting to impeach or voting to convict the president. Okay, let's go back to the lines. We got Jim, who wants to bring up the Super Bowl halftime show again. Jim from Mississippi, welcome.
As I just told your screener, we just detonated a cultural nuclear bomb and a dirty bomb. And the fallout is going all over the world. And we've all of a sudden, it's been like a hiccup. We've been drawn into this Iowa circus. All the commentary and focus seems to be going there. And I think we just have not given the attention to what happened at the halftime of that Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. That's the dirty nuclear bomb you're referring to. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nasty.
Somebody needs to be held accountable for who scheduled that entertainment program. What is the filtering process they use? If any, it doesn't seem like there's any. But who is responsible for that? Sandy Rios made a statement, when the Muslims refer to us as the great Satan, well, we just lend credibility to that when we broadcast that around the world.
Well, Jim, my understanding is that Roger Goodell gave the responsibility for halftime to Jay-Z, who is, and I don't mean this, again, as name-calling. I just think this is an accurate description. Jay-Z is a moral sewer. He started with gangster rap. He's a new ageist. He's into all of this occultish nonsense. That's who Goodell allowed to choose the halftime show. So as far as I'm concerned, that's why I say Goodell has just got to go. I mean, he's just got to go. And now nobody's allowed to say anything about it. When I say nobody's allowed, but you know what I mean? The mainstream people are acting like, oh, what a great show it was. Jeb Bush tweeted out, best halftime show ever. And, you know, you just wonder, I mean, what do these people have blinders on that they can't see it's corrupting our culture and corrupting our children? So, Jim, you're right. I hope it's not quite the equivalent of a nuclear fallout, because they say the half-life of that can be, what, 1,000 years. But I do hope that we wake up and realize this is the sense in which we've got to come back. We've got to take America back to the traditional values that understood that America should display ourselves and aspire to be a virtuous nation. It's not we try to be holier than thou, or, you know, we all ought to go around in white outfits and acting like, I mean, it's just that basic human decency and what we allow our children to see and what we display as our public persona as a nation. Oh, and by the way, everybody should be happy about this. J-Lo said that she did that show was dedicated to strong women and single moms. So that's what a strong woman, a single mom, behaves like a stripper. Yikes. But here again, folks, Jesus said when the eye's dark, the body is full of darkness. And these people have clearly got some darkened eyes. Let's go to Arlo in Arkansas. Arlo, welcome. And the number, by the way, folks, 888-589-8840. We still got time to get some more calls in. Arlo, you're on.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, good afternoon for me.
Yeah, me too. Well, it's past noon here, too. Have you heard about the black Hebrew Israelites?
I've heard about them, Arlo. I'm not thoroughly familiar with them, but I don't believe that these, well, let's put it this way. Are you referring to the cult here in America, or are you referring to people who actually emigrate to Israel? And there's some Ethiopians who are believed to be part of ancient Jewish tribes and all that. So, which one are you referring to?
The cult.
Yeah.
They killed two and killed two in New Jersey and wounded three in that house. I don't know if he was a rabbi or what, but I heard on Michael Brown's show. You know Michael Brown, right?
Yes.
Dr. Michael Brown. He had a guest on. He was embedded with them. He said that that had been around since the late 1800s, and it was just now getting back started here, and it was growing faster than Islam. And I found that kind of really disturbing, but I just wondered if
he said the black Hebrew Israelites have been going since the 1800s?
Yeah, they've been in America since the late 1800s, wow. And it's really disturbing. I wish you'd check into it.
I will. But they've been around that long is certainly new to me. I know they've been around a while, but I've always seen them as a kind of fringe cult. In fact, you know, they were apparently the ones who were trying to stir up trouble when those kids were accused of confronting that at the Capitol on the March for Life. I think it was the March for Life. Those kids were accused of stirring up trouble and confronting this Native American, and they say that actually the black Hebrew Israelites were there spewing all kinds of racial hatred and venom, and the mainstream media paid no attention to that. They just focused on this group of school kids who were there to support life and tried to turn them into villains. So Arlo, I will look into the black Hebrew Israelites, though, and see what we can find out, and I'll report to my audience. So thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Kay in Kansas. Kay, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Kay.
Oh, hi. I didn't hear that first. Thank you for taking my call. Anyway, I'll be short. If the people that the man and others that were talking about Rush Limbaugh's cancer and cussing so bad on that, if they don't repent for what they're saying against him, then God will not forgive them. And it's in the Bible somewhere, but I don't know where to look it up, but I've read it, and I do believe that if people can't repent to them, to him, and then try to be better, I really believe that people will be left behind when God and Christ, when they come back. Thank you for taking
my call.
And you are a wonderful bishop. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Goodbye. Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Kay. Yeah, folks, it's in several passages where Jesus says, if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. When Peter asks, how many times should I forgive? Seven times. Jesus says, 70 times seven, meaning there is no limit, because God has no limit to his willingness to forgive us. But you're right. People who have that bitterness and anger and hatred and unforgiveness in their hearts toward others, if they die with that, if they die unrepented of, they're going to go to hell. That's not Bishop Jackson talking. That's what the Word of God says. They are going to go to hell because they're going to die in their sin. That's why, folks, I say I'm not holding anything against anybody. Anybody who's offended me, I forgive them, period. And that's a faith commitment. That doesn't mean I always feel good about them. Doesn't mean I always, you know, have nice thoughts about him, but it means I'm just going to make a faith commitment. I'm not going to hold stuff against people because God said don't do it, because I don't want God to hold anything against me. All right, let's go to Ronald in Tennessee. Ronald, welcome. Ronald, you're on.
Yes, sir. I just want to let you know that you need to quit being so PC. And
right.
I'm glad you like it. But the best thing about the Super Bowl program was I'm legally blind and I couldn't watch
it. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm not laughing about your being legally blind, but I can see that you've got a sense of humor about it, Ronald. And that's I got you. I got you.
God's going to take care of me, though.
Amen, and we know he is.
I'm going to put my two comments in there that you need to work on that PC problem you got there.
Right. Yes, I'm told that all the time that, you know, you ought to not hold back. You ought to really be more direct about what you think. So I'll take that advice under consideration, Ronald. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Jerry. I think we got time, Jerry, for you. And also Jerry's in Texas. Wait a minute, is Jerry ready? No. I don't think, Jerry, we're going to bring you, we'll bring you up as soon as we can. But look, folks, just before we end the call, I want to remind you all again, we're going to have prayer this Friday at 12 noon also. Just a brief time of prayer for our country. If you want to join in that, just email us. Actually, I could give you the telephone number. Barely enough time to do that. But, email us at prayer@standamerica.us. prayer@standamerica.us. I'll give you the number, but I know it's probably not enough time for you to write it down. And you know what? Before I do that, I think if we can get, let's see, do we have time to get one more call in? Okay. All right. Then I'm going to give you all the number. The number is 605-313-5111. 605-313-5111. And the code is 334-543. But if you email us at prayer@standamerica.us and say, hey, I want to join the prayer call, we'll get that to you. Okay. And so, folks, listen, we're going to keep praying for Rush Limbaugh. And guess what? And I know this probably makes all these leftists monitoring this program just so mad they can barely see straight. But we're going to keep praying for them, too, and loving them and forgiving them and praying that God will awaken them to the fact that they're opposing themselves and trying hard to go to hell. And we don't want them to do it. We want them to live. We want them to be with God for all of eternity. So, folks, God bless you all. Thank you all for your prayers and your support. And thank you for the encouraging words that you've shared with me. And in the meantime, remember, America is going to be just fine because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
Children's author Whitney White.
She said, one day, you're going to write for America. I just kind of laughed it off and I said, I think you're